KMCH HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Intuitive Song with host Lori Houston, a professional and intuitive counselor who offers authentic guidance and tools to assist you to become more conscious and connect with your divine soul, to empower you to move from your heads to your heart. Join Lori Houston with co-host Nancy Aruda, in-house astrologer, every first and third Wednesday of the month. Plus, Jennifer Kautz, our dream analysis, also joins the team. Plus, Lori can be heard on Sky Radio every Monday with Jean Adrienne on Voices of Soul, Wednesday and Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern each day. If you have any questions on your relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that's blocking you, and or awakening your true power as you journey from your head to your heart, call Lori Houston now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul, and very excited because we're starting a whole new monthly co-host, and we have two people joining us today. We have Marvin Oka and Grant Susilu. Is that correct, Susilu?
That is beautifully spoken.
Really? That's great. Both Marvin and Grant work together and have created this fascinating book called M-Braining. So M as in mother, braining, M-Braining. And they can be found on the web at mbraining.com. And they talk about M-Bit and M-Braining. So let's talk about, I guess, the differences. So both, first, welcome, both of you. I'm so pleased to have you. And I think this is going to be a very fascinating show because this is kind of new research and it's very interesting. And I know that we've all heard that our heart has brain cells and our stomach has brain cells. So this is expanding on that further. So welcome, welcome.
All right. Thanks, Lori. It's great to be on the show.
And they're joining us from Australia. So this is really early in the morning for them. Really, really early.
Thank you, Lori. It is a little early.
Yeah. So tell us about M-Bit and then M-Braining.
Well, what's fascinating is the latest findings in neuroscience actually show that we have three functioning brains, literally, or complex adaptive neural networks, to be a bit more technical. But basically, neuroscience is starting to prove what ancient wisdom traditions have been saying for well over 2,500 years, that we have not only a functioning intelligence in our head brain, which we all know in the Western world, particularly in from Western science, but also, as you've rightfully mentioned, the heart is a legitimate brain unto itself. It's got all the structures of a functioning brain, all the appropriate neural transmitters, neural structures, as well as the gut. And our gut instinct is actually a very real intelligence that's functioning. And so it's pretty exciting when we start to now take a look at the ancient wisdom tradition teachings, and we start to find that, well, there actually is science behind all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Yeah, there's a lot of new information now that is sort of talking about this, but because I hope you've taken it to the next step and since you've written a book on it, I'm going to say that you're the experts on this. You've also kind of combined neurolinguistic programming. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We used science to inform what we call behavioral modeling, where we took a look at the way human beings were doing themselves naturally when we see forms of natural talent or competence starting to emerge. So, for instance, when people make an intuitive decision that turns out right and they're able to do it consistently, behavioral modeling comes to the front where we start to now take a look at, well, how is it that they're doing that? And in order to take those learnings and turn it into something translatable, into something sort of practical skills that we can all use, that's when we reached for things like neuro-linguistic programming, which has a fantastic suite of behavioral tools to help us with that. And you're right in that we've taken it to another level. It started off many years ago. Grant and I would often have dinners throughout the year, just kind of keeping in touch and finding out what each other is doing. And Grant would always be talking to me about some of the latest research that he'd be looking into, and he'd be telling me about how the heart was a functioning brain and how the gut was a functioning brain, and both of us being behavioral modelers, we could see the instant applications to wisdom make, to generating wisdom in daily decision making and action taking. So we got pretty excited. And then one day it slowly occurred to me that, hey, wait a minute. So I called Grant up and I said, have you been telling me all this time for the last couple of years in our dinner conversations that science has been looking at the heart brain and the gut brain pretty much in isolation of each other? They've just been studying one or the other, but no one's really brought them together and to find out what happens for the total human being when all three become integrated, when your heart, your gut, and your head all become aligned and integrated. And he said, yeah, that's what he's been trying to tell me. I said, oh, so my apologies. So we got on to putting it together, and we spent the last couple of years developing what we call MBIT, which stands for Multiple Brain Integration Techniques. And we use those techniques to do a process that we call M-braining, or the aligning of your multiple brains. And we find that it produces some profound results for people in how to actually live life more congruently, more passionately, and with much greater wisdom in their decision-making.
Cool.
And linking, of course, to the nature of your show, Laurie, which is all about intuition, it's all about being able to tap into the deep innate intuitions that exist in our gut wisdom and our heart intelligence. And so, the alignment of head and heart, that is the call sign for your show, is so aligned with what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because, obviously we're so mentally focused as a society. We tend to tend to use our mind, or what we think of as our head, to centralize most of our intellect. That's kind of the way we've always done. We've got lots of educational programs, lots of things to develop our minds so that our minds become maybe a little bit overactive and often very difficult to shut down. And we tend to be more focused there than we are anywhere else. And I guess one of the questions, as I hear you talking, when you talk about your gut, are you talking about your solar plexus? Are you talking about your stomach? Are you talking about those inner urges that we get when somebody says, let's follow our gut? Like, where are they saying that we actually have a functioning brain? Like, is it a physical location, or is it more a, it has to be if neuroscience has kind of labeled it?
Perhaps I could jump in here and respond to that. There's over 500 million neurons in the gut brain, or what's technically known as the enteric brain. And in the fetus, in the developing fetus, when the baby is developing in the womb, a neural tube begins to form that'll form the nervous system at the point where the spine would be, and it forms around the umbilicus point. And as it rolls around to begin to form this tube, as soon as it rolls around, it forms a little outpouching that becomes the enteric brain, or the gut brain. And the gut brain actually forms first, even before the rest of the tube is rolled up and starts to form the head brain. So in our development in the womb, our gut brain forms in the visceral region, in the whole of our torso. And the nerves from the gut brain innervate the lungs, for example, the pancreas, the liver, all throughout your torso. In fact, the gut brain, or enteric brain, is responsible for at least 80 to 90% of your immune function. So the gut brain's controlling your immune system. The gut brain is connected with almost all of the organs throughout your whole of your torso. So it's not just in
one area,
located just at the solar plexus, but there are some points, like, and if you look at the chakra system, you can see that for a couple of thousand years, the Ayurvedic system, the Hindu system, has known about these points of intelligence in the body, these points of control in the body. And so there are some key points in the gut brain region. Even to the point where there's like a foregut brain and a hindgut brain, and that there is import of that. It's sort of profound for things like courage. And when you model people who are incredibly courageous, then you find that they talk about having this sense of a push from the back through to the forward, that the fear is felt in the front and the courage comes from the back. So some really fascinating stuff has emerged and is continuing to emerge from the neuroscience perspective. And what we did over the last 2.5 years was I go out and use behavioral modeling to take that neuroscience and say, well, science can only go so far at this stage, but let's use that as a set of tools to examine how people do amazing things like deep intuition, like courage, like forgiveness, the stuff that's normally in the heart or the gut regions. So it's pretty cool.
Fascinating.
Which is why, of course, we called our book Using Your Multiple Brains to Do Cool Stuff. M-braining using your multiple brains. Because we think it is pretty damn cool. There's some amazing stuff in there.
That's great. Okay. So then how would you differentiate when you think of intuition? And, you know, it's interesting because I've known a lot of different people that intuit in different ways. And there are a lot of people that intuit more from a gut place, and there are a lot of people that intuit from a heart level. And then I think there are, you know, maybe some that would intuit maybe their third eye, or I don't know if that would necessarily be also considered the gut, or if that would be more from a brain perspective. But I think it's fascinating that there are different ways that people can intuit information. Would you have understanding as to why that may happen, or whether there is specifically a difference in when the heart intuits versus the gut?
Yes, certainly there are some big differences there. Okay. Now, first of all, also we want to clarify that we deliberately call this multiple brain work rather than three brain work, because we simply wanted to start with where science can prove currently. Science can currently prove that we have three functioning neural networks in the head, heart, and gut. But as Grant mentioned, you know, if you look at the chakra system, there's clearly going to become more intelligences that will get proven later on in the future when we've got ways to actually measure such things. So we deliberately called it multiple brain, and this relates to your capacity of how, or your question around how people intuit differently. In addition to the different neural networks, there's also different what we call gateways into parts of the autonomic nervous system, but parts of what we would simply call the unconscious processes or the unconscious mind, where a lot of the intuition is coming from. And as Candace Pert, who wrote Molecules of Emotion many years back, she very aptly pointed out, she said the unconscious mind is the body. The body is the unconscious mind. You know, where are we getting our signals from? And also she's coming from a strong Western medicine background, so obviously she'll look from the body inwards. There may be things outside we don't know, but science can't prove it just yet, so we'll stick with what science says at the moment. So intuition comes from different areas and with different signals. Now, you said earlier that and rightfully so, that in the Western world we have a particular bias towards the head brain.
Yes.
And one of the reasons is the head brain, Grant and I start to discover as we looked at our behavioral modeling, what we call the prime functions of each of these different neural networks. These three different neural networks are really good at doing different things. And we can get ourselves into a lot of trouble if we use one to do the job of the other. And one of the things the head brain is really good at is making meaning. It's good at putting story to things. It's good at putting language to things. And because of that, we tend to believe the head brain more than the others. The heart and the gut don't speak in words. They speak. They have a different communication system going on, and because they're processing differently, they've got a different signal set going on. The heart, what we found, what we call prime functions, the heart is really good at doing things like our emoting processes, our emotional processing. It's really good at doing our values and our valuing processes of what's important to us, and it's really good at understanding how we feel or processing how we feel about each other, or what we call relational affect, how we feel in our relationships with people. And you hear it in common day or everyday language. You know, when someone says, oh, I need to have a heart-to-heart with them, that doesn't mean they want to have a logical discussion. That would be a head brain function, right? Or if they say they wear their heart on the sleeve, they're not saying, well, their logic is clear. You know, they're saying these are emoting processes. Or when they say it's from the heart, it means they really feel it and they're connecting with it in terms of emotions and connections and values.
Okay, well, you know what? We're going to go to a break, so why don't we pause there, because I think we sort of got the heart one, and then we'll come back, we'll finish up the heart one, and we'll talk about the gut, because I think that's all very, this is fascinating. I'm so excited. This is going to be a great show. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. Today I have Marvin Oka and Grant Susalu, and they are part of M-Braining, and this is going to be a new show that's going to be on every month, the third Wednesday of the month. They will be back next month on the 13th of March. You're listening to Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
This is where the mind meets the soul. CBS Radio's The New Sky. NewSkyRadio.com.
Pass the road to your house that you never call home. Where they turned out the lights, they will say you'll never know. I remember running through the wet grass, falling on a step behind. Both of us never tiring, desperately wanting. When they pumped up your guts, filled you full of those bullets, you would never quite like the rhythm of the chills. Said it was still.
You've imagined. Look up to the...
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul, and today I have Grant and Marvin, and we're talking about M-Braining. If you want more information, go to their site, mbraining.com. So M as in mother, braining. .com and find out more information from them there. Okay, so right before the break, we were sort of discussing the different types of intuition, and I think I'm not sure if we're completely finished with the heart.
Yeah, I think we can move on to the gut.
Okay, perfect.
So the gut prime functions, as we mentioned, the gut has a different intelligence. It tracks for different things, and it can send different intuitive signals accordingly. And the gut instinct, so to speak, usually revolves around three things. One has to do with core identity, who you really are. And this comes at a, you know, as people often say, you know, deep down in their gut, they can feel a certain thing, or they can feel what's right or wrong for them. And you'll hear it when people even take on new learnings. They'll use language that relate to the gut. They'll say things like, oh, well, I need to digest that, which means I need to take that in via my gut. My gut has to absorb it into me. And the gut's also, 70 to 90% of the immune system is actually from the gut, is actually occurring, that the gut is responsible for. And what does the immune system do? The immune system figures out what is me and what is not me, and what is not me, it gets rid of. So the gut has a strong implication for health and well-being issues, and a lot of intuitive signals can come from that. But it's also responsible for, if there's a self, there needs to be also a protection of self, and also a sense of boundaries that are in play. So a lot of your safety signals, your physical safety signals, come in from your gut. And you'll find that when people have fear, because they feel threatened, where do they feel it first? Usually in their gut. And so much so, you hear even the so-called number one fear of most people is public speaking, and most people get butterflies in the stomach, which is interesting. Some people can get so threatened, or a situation can occur that is so much against their core identity and violates their sense of protection, that they physically throw up. And the gut actually goes into a reverse peristalsis and gets rid of things. So it's very interesting to see that the gut go into its prime function of protection. And even martial artists know this. A lot of their centering is from the gut. And they move from the gut, which is the third function, which is mobility, movement. It's your gut instinct that makes you want to do something or take action, or also freeze and not take action. Now, it's coming back to your original question around different intuitive signals. It's not just that these three different neural networks, your head, heart, and gut, have different forms of intuition. They communicate that intuition in different ways. And there's also a different class of intuition when all three of them are working together or are in conflict together. So there's a lot behind what you're saying, that yes, people do have different intuitive signals, and they go to different places to track those signals.
Right. Although I found a lot of times that we will pick a primary intuitive way. Like we have a primary that's where we tend to go to first. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. And there are different, again, depending upon the different types of wisdom traditions that you look at, it might also have some explanations for why that might be the case. Aside from we could explain it from Western medicine, and we could say, or Western science, and say what's happened is the neural network patterns have been built up. So you've got basically intelligence strength in those particular areas. So people are more heart-based, more gut-based, more head-based, and they've got stronger neural network signals coming from there. You can also look at it from wisdom traditions, for instance, like the Enneagram or Sufi traditions, that will talk about the three centers. Some people may come from a head center, a heart center, or a gut center, and a lot of their ego fixations or personality ego fixations become centered around those particular drivers. So, yeah, most certainly some people can lead with one or the other. But there is while that's a strength, that can also be a challenge, because you don't want one neural network trying to do the job of the other.
Right. Now, taking it one step to neurolinguistic programming, or NLP, where there's usually the four different ways that we either intuit or learn information, how would that fit in?
It fits in extremely well. In fact, one of the things that Grant and I also got very excited about is, as you say, NLP predominantly focuses on four major, what we call, representational systems, through the visual modality, the auditory, the kinesthetic or body sensations, and the auditory digital, or the use of language. And a lot of traditional NLP has spent minimal focus, if at all, on olfactory and gustatory, a sense of smell and taste. And we start to find that smell is one of the great representational channels and inputs straight into the emoting processes, the emotional processes, and thus to the heart intelligence, which is why smells evoke such powerful memories. Aside from the fact that it's the one that goes directly into the limbic system without having to go through any other relays, so it's a very quick anchored response that happens when we go into some beautiful smells, for instance. But we also, the gustatory, obviously relating to the gut intelligence, because the gut also relates to the entire gastrointestinal tract. And you hear it in people's language. It's very similar to NLP, how we pay attention to visual predicates when people say things like, I see what you're saying, which is different than if they said, I hear what you're saying, which is different than if they said, I can connect with what you're saying. Those are all very different neurological processes. And when we hear words like the sweet smell of success, or even the sweet taste of success, or how, why is it that failure is bitter and sour? Mm-hmm. This is telling us which neural network is now becoming more predominantly engaged.
Interesting. So that's fascinating. It's very exciting.
Yeah, we got wildly excited.
It's just exciting because it's a way to, again, to understand ourselves from a different perspective, like a different set of rules than what we have been used to sort of setting ourselves around.
Yeah, Grant and I find that it gives us greater depth of understanding of ourselves and greater precision in ourselves. You know, otherwise we would use language, for instance, we'd say intuition, and we'd be combining the heart and gut intelligence. And while that's useful, by understanding that there is a gut intuition and there's a heart intuition, it gives us even greater understanding and precision in how we work with ourselves, how we make our decisions, what we pay attention to within our own world and not. It opens up whole new possibilities.
Yeah.
And I'd also add with the science backing to this, to know that you've actually got, you know, 500 million neurons, a brain the size of a cat or dog's brain. And you know how intelligent cats, you've got a cat.
I do.
You know how intelligent cats are and dogs are. You know, you come home from work and before you even feed yourself, they've organized your behavior so that you feed them first.
How true is that?
They protect you and they protect their environment and they know who should be there and shouldn't be there. And that's like what the gut brain does. So to know that you've got this incredible intelligence and there actually is a brain there, and the same in the heart, that to start to understand the importance of smells and tastes as signals from these neural networks, and that there is actually scientific credence to this, allows you to have that extra power to start attending to these intuitive signals and to making the difference between them and to paying attention to, you know, if you're getting a bad taste in the mouth about a certain situation or a certain person, you have to go, you know, that's not just because I had fast food for lunch. That's actually a message from my gut brain, or, you know, if there's a certain, you know, this situation has a bad smell about it. It's your heart brain telling your head brain something, and you need to pay attention to it. So there's an extra power to it.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, thinking about how I've kind of brought my world around, you know, helping people to get from their heads to their hearts, and I've been missing out on this entire system that I haven't really given much thought to, even though I'm sure I use my gut in a lot of different cases, but I've been, you know, primarily focusing on bringing people into their heart. Huh. So I'm going to have to rethink that now because of you guys.
Well, it's a good thing.
And refill it.
And refill it. Well, it's a great thing to actually bring people to their heart first. And there's a reason for that. In our work, we find that, borrowing a phrase from traditional Chinese medicine, which is the heart is the emperor, we find a lot of powerful change work that can happen for people first has to start with the heart. So we'll talk more about this in just a minute. But I thought what might be interesting for you, Laurie, is particularly as you're doing a lot of things around intuition and listening to these signals, is the way that these different neural networks can talk to you they can send their intuition signals to you via dreams. So Grant, you might want to explain a bit about how dreams work, particularly with the gut brain.
Okay, let's do that after the break. Okay, Grant?
Ready.
All right. So we're going to go to our next break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. We have Marvin and Grant with us. We're talking about their book is called Embraining. It's their own specific approach to understanding the neuroscience around our different levels of intuition. So I'm finding this is very fascinating. I'm so happy that you've joined our show, and we'll be back. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Life's a game. Win. Call and get advice from today's top coaches that are here to help you run a business, offer legal advice, enrich your relationships, or guide you on the right career path. Our coaches are expert professionals in their field to help you win the game of life. Listen to Coach Me Radio, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m.
Is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul, and today I have Grant and Marvin with us, and we're talking about embraining. It's their new programming. MBIT is your program, I guess, and M-Braining is the book that you've written to explain it and understand it. Right before break, we were going to talk about dreams. So, Grant, tell us about dreams and how it fits in with our gut.
Yes, yeah, it's fascinating. When we came across this piece of research, I had to ring up Marvin and go, listen to this. This is absolutely amazing and fits with all of the behavioral modeling work we've been doing about the importance of dreams. Because, you know, a lot of intuitive signals come through dreams and come through visions, etc. But, you know, dream work is very important for them to tap into that deep inner intelligence and wisdom that is beyond the head brain, beyond the conscious head brain. So you know that every night when we sleep, the majority of people dream, and they dream multiple times during the night. And our dreams in our head brain are indicated by what's called REM, or rapid eye movement sleep. And if you watch somebody who's in a dream, if they're sleeping, and you'll see this in your pets, in dogs, in babies, and in adults, you see their eyes start to move rapidly, and their legs and arms will start to move, and you know, this is called REM sleep, and it's typically when we dream. If you wake somebody up in the middle of REM sleep, they'll be able to tell you that, yes, they they'll remember their dreams. A lot of people don't remember their dreams, but it's simply because they've woken up at a point in the sleep cycle when they're not in rapid eye movement, so they're not consciously aware that they have been dreaming all night. Well, it turns out that every 90 minutes when the head brain, because it is approximately every 90 minutes, you go through a period of REM or REM sleep, it turns out that at the same time, the gut goes through what's called RGM sleep, or rapid gut movement sleep. So while your head brain is sleeping, your gut brain is sleeping, and while your head brain is dreaming, your gut brain is going through a process that looks very, very similar for its brain. And the researchers believe that this is a time when your gut is communicating with the head about things that are important, and that your three neural networks, your brains, are communicating back and forth to take the to process to digest the day, to really make sense of it all at a deep visceral level, and to make you aware of things like that which is threatening to who you are, to your core self, or in terms of the heart, because the heart has an intelligence, and the heart will likely to be doing something similar, though no neuroscientists yet measured rapid heart movement, and it would possibly be fairly challenging to do aspects of that because the heart's constantly moving and beating, etc. Whereas the gut has times of quiescence, or, you know, not doing much, and other times when it is really moving rapidly and doing rapid gut movement, twitching. So just like your arms and legs twitch, your gut is twitching too and sending messages up. And there's some fascinating stories, which we have in our book, about dreams that have saved people's lives, where there have been messages that have been very explicit and specific, and you can tell there have been messages from the gut brain to the head brain to say, wake up, there's something important here, I've got an intuitive message for you, this, you need to attend to it, this will save your life.
Huh. It's fascinating because often our dreams are more intense, or they tend to have, you know, there may be some things that are gentle and happy and stuff that are going on in the dreams, but there's usually some sort of, I don't want to say struggle, because I don't know that that's always the case, but there's usually something that's going on that is kind of bringing your awareness to something, so that I can see where that would be your gut versus your heart per se. I'm wishing that I would have more heart dreams.
you know, interestingly, you can get more heart dreams, gut dreams, or you know, whatever, if you talk to your neural networks as if they're, you know, because if you think about them, they don't have the same. There's 100 billion neurons and 100,000 million neurons in the head brain. There's 500 million neurons in the gut brain. So it's a large brain, but it's nowhere near the size of the head brain. And the heart only has about 50,000 to 120,000 neurons. And I, you know, perhaps next month we'll tell you a bit more about what's the difference. Why is it 50 for some and 120, and what goes on there? Because that's important and fascinating. But the other thing I wanted to mention was, you know, there are these old wives' tales, this, you know, sort of general wisdom that says, don't eat a complex meal before you go to bed, you'll have nightmares. And it makes sense from the perspective of that piece of knowledge about rapid gut movement, sleeping and dreaming, that if just before going to bed you eat a really complex meal, your gut brain is going to be trying to digest all of this complex food. It's busy doing just the assimilating and saying, oh, this molecule, should it come into me or not into me, and excreting out the stuff that shouldn't be you. And at the same time, your head brain's going, during the rapid eye movement sleep, going, gut brain, talk to me, and help me digest what happened during the day. Give me the sense of threat and not threat. So you're going to end up with getting very confused signals from the gut brain and to the head brain, and that's going to lead to what, you know, would be called nightmares. So therefore, don't eat just before you go to bed.
Good.
Pretty practical advice.
But good on advice.
On the flip side, you know that many wisdom traditions had fasting as an important part of the vision process. So if you wanted to go and tap into, if you want to get visions, if you want to go and really connect with deep intelligence and deep wisdom, then you fasted for 12 hours, 24 hours, sometimes a couple of days. So the Native American Indians would go and fast before they did their visioning. And it was important because if you want to tune into the competencies and the prime functions of the gut and heart brains around things to do with and that are important to yourself and who you are and what you should be doing in your life, then you need to empty out the function of just trying to digest food. So by fasting, you allow that intelligence to, you're not blocking it, you're not keeping it busy, you're not interrupting it, you're allowing the intuitive function to really come out. So from a decision-making process, if you have an important decision, sleep on it. That's why we have that advice of sleeping on things, because it allows overnight the gut and heart brains to talk to the head brain and bring their information up. It's a long period when you're not eating, so it's almost like a fasting period. And then in the morning, don't immediately swamp yourself with breakfast. Go and have just some water, because it turns out we have taste buds for water throughout our gastrointestinal tract. Indeed, one other extra piece that I find amazingly fascinating that's only come out in the last couple of years, scientific evidence, is that we have taste buds not just on our tongues, but throughout the whole of our gastrointestinal tract. So our gut brain is tasting the food, not just on the tongue, but all the way through. And we even have discovered in the last year that we have taste buds in our lungs.
Really?
So when you're breathing, when you're breathing, you're tasting the air. And there's a new class of asthma drugs coming out, which are just bitter principles. And they've got very few side effects. And it's because when you breathe something bitter, your lungs bronchodilate. So they stop the constriction that causes asthma. So there's some fascinating stuff emerging. And, of course, all of the neural tissue in the lungs, as I said earlier, comes out when the embryo is growing. The nerves and neural tissue in the lungs comes out of the enteric brain, comes out of the gut brain. So your gut brain is tasting the world through your lungs.
Huh.
Fascinating stuff.
Fascinating. So also when you... There is so much that we could talk about.
And we will.
We are going to have to do a lot of shows, guys.
There's some profound stuff in all of this, and it links up with so many different areas, from psychology to decision-making theory to leadership to working as a parent with the people you love and how you connect. Some fascinating stuff.
You can see, Laurie, what Grant and I would get so excited during our dinners. And then finally it's like, hey, we should put this all together for people.
So, I can see that. I'm just amazed. I think this is so fascinating. There's so many, it just opens up a whole new venue to sort of contemplate and, hopefully not with our minds, but, just to bring everything in.
to deeply digest and to really value in their hearts.
That's right. Wow. So it's the first thing that gets formed as we're developing as a fetus. Is that the brain or is it the gut?
The gut brain.
It is
the gut brain. Yeah, and then the heart brain and then the head brain.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Wow.
And what is interesting?
Go on.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, from an evolutionary perspective, what happens in the fetus is echoing how we evolved as a species. From an evolutionary perspective, the gut brain formed first in evolution. So sea cucumbers and helminths and small worm tube-like organisms have a gut brain and only a gut brain. And then as organisms got more complex and they needed to have a circulatory system, we developed a heart brain to have to monitor the requirement for oxygen and blood flow throughout the system, and it was connected to the gut brain by the vagus nerve. And then, of course, when we got even more complex, formed mammals, etc., we needed a head brain, and the head brain has evolved to the most complex form in the human primate, and allows for the frontal lobes and the neocortex and ability to do language and all sorts of incredible cognitive things. But primarily what ultimately drives a lot of our decisions and a lot of who we are comes out of these deep processes that have been going for millions of years. The gut brain first, then the heart brain, then the head brain.
Wow. That's fascinating. All right, we've got to go to our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. I have Marvin and Grant with us. We're talking about MBIT or M-Braining as their book. This is fascinating stuff. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Feng Shui for the soul. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have our new co-hosts, and I'm so excited to have you guys because this is been a fascinating conversation. They're taking kind of the latest neuroscience and teaching us what we can, how we can use that for our intuition and how we can use that in our lives. I'm so excited. They have a book called M-Braining. So M as in mother, braining. And it's now available on Kindle. They've lowered the price on Kindle so that everybody can access it. So that's very exciting. Can they get it on Amazon, or do they have to go to Kindle? Is that, I don't even know how Kindle works, so.
The easiest way is to go to our website. We've got links to both the physical book and the Kindle book.
Yay.
But yeah, it's basically both the physical book and the Kindle are on the website and on Amazon and on CreateSpace, so easy to get to.
Cool. So that's mbraining.com. So M as in mother, braining.com. Go there and find out more information. All right, so I can't remember where we said we'd start with. We were just going to talk.
Well, one of the things that might be good to come back to, Laurie, is the your beautiful tagline of moving people from their head back to their heart. And there's a really good reason why you've intuitively locked onto that and intuitively knew this was a strong thing and an important thing to do. As mentioned earlier, we borrowed a phrase from traditional Chinese medicine that says the heart is the emperor. And that often we need to start any type of change work, if we're developing ourselves, working on ourselves, we need to start with the heart. And there's a couple of reasons why that's very important, or actually maybe two or three good reasons. One, Grant mentioned before the break about the vagus nerve and how the vagus nerve is actually important about how it allows for the communication signals between the three brains, between the gut, the heart, and the head. They're communicating with each other predominantly through the majority of signals through the vagus nerve. And what's interesting about this is that about 80% of those signals flow upwards. And so this is why it's very difficult, for instance, if you're feeling stressed or whatever it might be, to simply talk yourself out of it from the head brain. If your gut is freaking out, or your heart is really upset about something, and it's angry about something or whatever it might be, why it's not so easy. You can do it, but it's not so easy for your head brain to just sort of tell yourself to calm down. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit more work than that. And usually one of the things that you have to do to alter your mental and emotional states is to change your breathing patterns. You'll have to take a deep breath, or you have to let out a deep breath, or whatever it might be. And again, this is also a major function of your vagus nerve, helping to actually regulate your breathing as well, or actually to work with your breathing. So one component is the heart is particularly important. To start with the heart rather than trying to start with the head. It's very hard for the signals to come downward from the head. You can do it, but it's much more difficult. Now, another thing is that we'll talk about in another show, which is, but the heart is going to be responsible for regulating or balancing your autonomic nervous system. In other words, it's a major doorway to getting you out of stress or getting you out of apathy and getting back into a balanced state where your intuitive signals can flow much more easily between your heart, your gut, and your head. And the third major aspect is that because the heart is responsible for your values and what's important to you, unless your heart is engaged first, then whatever change you're trying to make, your heart may or may not care, really. So unless you can engage the heart into a deep valuing process, then the gut can go, oh, yes, well, that's important to me personally, then you can start to make a lot of changes within yourself, and you can really tap into a lot of strong and intuitive signals. But if your heart's not engaged first, if your head can make up stories about anything and can justify anything left to its own devices, and the gut is usually very good at taking directions in terms of what's important. If we know that that's important, then the gut can mobilize accordingly. So your tagline is very apropos.
Thank you. I was getting worried when we first started talking, but it's fascinating because as you were saying it, it is so much in alignment with all of what the East teaches us around meditation or the West is trying to teach us about being in the now. I mean, it all completely links and synchronizes in with all the teachings that are out there on spirituality and how to bring us back into that state of now, which is, typically we're too much in the head and we're either worrying about the future or thinking about the past and all of our past memories and our perceptions and how they cloud our now moment. So it's fascinating that it all sort of links in together in a very concise way and gives you a little bit more science background, I guess, or understanding to assist you.
Yeah, very much so. That's part of why Grant and I keep getting excited more and more. The more we work with MBIT, the more excited we get, because it starts to put a lot of background to so many things, as you say, so many different wisdom traditions, and even modern approaches. You mentioned about being focused on the now, and obviously one of the more popular exponents of this is Eckhart Tolle. And I remember one of his statements, and he was saying that he said, whenever you're stressed or worried about something, and again, you've gone into the future with a lot of anxiety about something that might be coming up, or you're worried about something that has happened in the past or whatever it might be, he says, first focus on the now. And he says, are you okay right now? right now, in this moment, is anything hurting you? Is anything harming? Are you okay right now? And at any point in time, it's another now. So are you still okay right now? So at the end of the day, you're actually okay. You're just fine right now. And that's all there ever is right now. Now, it's the gut that responds to this. It's the gut brain that starts to go, oh, yes, all is safe right now. And once the core identity becomes safe, then great, we can breathe. We can come back to autonomic balance. The heart can now engage and start to go into its more passionate expressions as to what it means to be me in this now. And as we'll talk about in a future show, what we call the foundational sequence, the heart starts becoming more alive. It becomes much more connected to oneself as well as to others, which then sends signals up to the head. The head can become creative about how to express this natural way of being, this passion within you. And then that can send the signals back down to the gut for action on that vision of what's important and true for you. So you're absolutely right. This does explain so much of what wisdom traditions have been saying for well over 2,500 years.
Yeah, that's great. So obviously, everybody, mark this on your calendar. The 13th of March is when they're going to be back. We are going to have some interesting discussion about how this all fits in, how, you know, the heart, the gut is probably protecting the heart on a lot of different in a lot of different ways. There's just so much that we're going to delve into. So this is so exciting because this is like on the edge, new information that we all need to know. So I am so happy that you guys have joined our show.
Great. We're happy to be on the show. Thank you.
All right. So we have to go. Tune in next month on the 13th of March at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. We have Grant Susilu and Marvin Oka. Please find them on the web at mbraining.com, so www.mbraining.com. We've been on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.